rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There we go. Okay, roll call. We have everybody here tonight. Next is citizen input. So if there's any citizens here that would like to address the council, that is a council matter that is not on our agenda, raise your hand. I'll acknowledge you, and I'll give you up to 5 minutes. Okay, since nobody raised their hands, do I hear a motion from the council to approval of the city council? Oops, I'm in the wrong spot. Hang on. I don't have that on mine. Okay. Strike it there. Do I hear a motion approval of the agenda?
Make that motion.
Ken Johnson first. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, Mark Snyder seconded. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes. Consent agenda. Do I hear a motion on the consent agenda?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Okay, Dan first, Ken Kaler second. Any discussion?
I am again voting no on the consent agenda. It includes the approval of warrants, and one of the warrants is a payment to the contractor for Main Street, and I disagree paying them any more money than the mess they left out there. So I'm voting no on the consent agenda.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. All right. Jim, you want to introduce to us? Catherine?
To the council and mayor, this is my partner, Catherine Kennison.
Okay, great. Nice meeting you. All right, let's jump down to... come down here for a minute.
Each year, the mayor picks some volunteers of the community that have worked hard in our community to make a better place for all of us to live and give them their time. And a lot of them give them money. And they've made a big difference in making this community a better place to live for all of us. And so I've been talking and listening to people and just realizing that, you know, a community without volunteers is a pretty boring place. And, you know, we can enjoy our parades. We enjoy just think about everything that's in our community, from parades to events to it just goes on and on. You know, the crisis in our community. And I'd like to recognize three of them this year. The first one is Janelle Anderson, but she is not here because she's sick. We're going to honor her the first of the year. But Janelle, what she has done in our community is really pretty neat. Janelle has actually had more irons in the fire than I could believe I could do. She's a wife, a mother of five, a homeschool mom, business owner, 4-H club leader, and a chamber president. And her efforts have turned our chamber around financially, and organization has really made it a top-notch place for business to enjoy being part of. She was very involved in our 4th of July parade. I know I've visited her many times, and she got the military. She did a lot of work, and they all put together for us to enjoy. So we want to recognize her tonight. But the other two people I'd like to have come down is Dan Deaver and Ken Taylor. Two of you come down. Well, I'm going to start with Ken right here. I guess the reason I picked these two more than anything is because both of them were very, very involved in our centennial. And they put countless years, or hours, I should say, into making this a success. They probably feel like countless years have disappeared, but you know, they put a lot of work into this, a lot of meetings, and you know, I want to recognize their efforts. besides Ken being a city council member, and now he's the co-chair of the Centennial Committee. You know, his work has ensured a successful celebration this year, which I participated in. I really enjoyed it. My whole family enjoyed it, from, you know, the speeders on the track to the dancing, my granddaughter and I, and both of them were involved, you know, was put together. It was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed the Centennial. He also volunteered to serve this year as Adams County Development Council. He's a lead-off one committee. He's a SWAC committee, Ground F. He also serves on the Union Negotiations Committee, which I'm sure is a lot of fun. So I would just like to thank him, myself personally, and the city for all the work that he has put into making the city a better place for all of us to live and enjoy. And also give you this right here. A little award here, you can run your wall over and a key to the city, but it doesn't open anything. Sorry about that.
For everybody that's here tonight, we do have refreshments in the back, so if you'd like to get a sandwich or coffee or anything, help yourself. Just get up. We'd also like to recognize the Adams County Water District Number 1 Board. If you gentlemen would like to stand up, we want to welcome you for coming tonight. They're here also for the part of the meeting. Thanks for coming. Okay. Public meeting. Drop down. Let me get my laptop to where I need to be. There it is. Margin. Okay, next to this is the public hearing procedure. Please bear with us as we proceed through the legal and technical aspects of the public hearing. This public hearing is being held by the City, Othello City Council and Adams County Water District Number 1 Commissioners to receive a staff report and receive public input about a proposed water rate amendment to the Adams County Water District Number 1 Water Agreement. Okay, this is now open at 7:10 p.m. The city has proposed an amendment to the agreement with Adams County Water District Number 1, which includes an increase in monthly water charges for the next 3 years. Copies of the proposed rate adjustments have been sent to the Adams County Water District Number 1. This public hearing is required by agreement. I will now ask our finance officer to present the exhibits and present a report. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. Recently, Council approved a rate increase for our water utility. It's a 3-year rate increase, and it's 4% per year over the 3-year period. Of course, that affects all of our rates, including the rates outside the city. And I have up on the screen a copy of a letter that I sent to Adams County Water District, and it lays out the rates. It starts on the very left side on the current column right here. With the rates they're paying currently, the low rate is 69, the next one is 81, and then it goes up to 93. And as you move into the next year, the low rate goes from 69 to 72, and in 2012 to 75, and then in 2013 to 78. And then the other rates go up correspondingly. There's a meter charge. They're currently paying $1,274.42 a month for a meter, and that will go up in 2011-13-25 and 2012-13-78, and in 2013-14-33. That's what the rate increase will look like. The actual cost to Water District Number One over the 3-year period, the number was based on the last 12 months of service, and so over a 12-month period, the cost to them over the 3 years, the additional cost would be $5,934.
Okay, thank you, Mike. I will now ask for public testimony, questions, or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so that I may recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone and state your name and address for the record. I'll allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen. Okay. Since there was no public comments, I will close the public testimony time. Okay. Does any of the representatives from Adams County Water District Number One have comments or questions? Robert, you have any questions or?
Well, we had a few questions, but you've been increased quite a bit of the price in the water for the last 3 or 4 years. And then the worst problem, we have a less quality water too. We don't have very good water for the last 2 years. We gotta buy some water in town to drink water. So this is the only reason we come down here, because you've been increased quite a bit already. We don't have a too good service in water in our place. I think that's the same one.
So you as a, Robert, you wanna come up to the mic and give us your name? No?
Well, I have three names anyway.
Give us your good name. How's that?
Yes, my name is Humberto Martinez. I live in Edison Tracks in 2181.
Okay.
A Street. So that's the only problem we have down there now in that area, which Edison Tracks is. I've been living down there for more than 25 years, to me, we have better service before than the one we have right now. The water, he come a lot of different colors for in the area over there. So, and I've been have a bill for last 2-3 months, $120 each month. So that's too much for a person.
Now, Robert, you're on the board, right? Roberto?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that. But have you guys contacted the city about your water so we can check and see if it's coming from us or within your area?
Well, he say he might have a problem, and I do. One time only, I have a problem with the restroom. The water goes through the street. But only one time, and then the rest of the time, I don't have no leaks, I don't have nothing, so the water here come out too much. That's the reason we come down here, because we have a lot of people down there, and everybody who wants to come, but nobody knows when we have the meeting. So I just find out that half an hour, so this way I just came down here. And maybe he have some different deal down here, but that's all we have to say.
Okay. You're gonna be leaving early. You staying for the meeting? What are you doing? Why don't you say your phone number, maybe, or be. Give us your phone number over the microphone. We'll call you, and we'll try to get together and see where the issue is.
Yeah.
If it's on our side, then we'll, but I don't think it is.
509-760-6209. I don't have a phone in my house, so I just have a cellar.
Okay. Okay, maybe we can find out, meet at the meter. Say it real slow again, Roberto.
509-760-6209.
6209? Okay. All right, that's the first we're hearing of this, so.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Any other board members have questions? No? Okay. Does any of the council have comments or questions at this time?
I really think we should look into the quality of water, for, especially if we're going to raise their rates.
Well, that's it may not be from us. That's,
yeah, I mean, I understand that.
Yeah.
I hope we do diligence on our part to, mm-hmm. to do the right thing, at least. They're going to pay it.
Yeah, we'll send down. We'll get with them and see what's going on. So it's hard to know from here. So, any other comments or questions from council? Okay, I will now close the public hearing at 7:17 p.m. Okay. All right. Switch over. Let's see, that would be Mike. I believe you're up again. Resolution establishing a new water rate for Adams County Water District.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. The initial contract between Adams County Water District number one and the city did not include the 150% surcharge. However, in 2004, the city and Adams County Water District number one discussed via public hearing the 150% surcharge, which was adopted as amendment number 5 to the contract. The proposed 4% per year increase over the next 3 years is applied to the outside city rate in each of the 3 years. The annual increase to the water district would be approximately $1,901 in 2011, $1,977 in 2012, and $2,056 in 2013, for a total of $5,934. The increase is applied to all in-city ratepayers, therefore it should be applied to contracts as well to cover expenses of operations costs, gains, and current and future improvements. The motion is informed to approve the resolution for a 3-year rate increase as an amendment to the agreement establishing water rates for Adams County Water District Number 1 per the attached resolution. And this is a copy of the meaty part of the resolution that shows the rates that I had shown you earlier in the letter. Right, if there's any questions.
Questions from the Water District? What he just said? Okay. Council, any questions for Mike? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the resolution for a 3-year water rate increase as an amendment to the agreement establishing water rates for Adams County Water District Number 1 per attached resolution? Do I hear a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Ken Johnson first.
Second.
Gina second. Any more discussion? Go ahead.
I voted against the 4% increase for in-town citizens, so I'm going to vote against the 4% increase for out-of-town citizens, so I'm consistent.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, the same?
Aye.
Okay, Mark. Duly noted. Okay. Thank you, Mike. Okay, resolution regarding utilities annexation policy, Jim.
Yes, Mayor, back in 1996, the council established a policy under which the city will extend its water and sewer utilities outside of its city limits. And one of those conditions was compliance with the city's comprehensive land use plan. Your insurance pool conducted an audit of your land use practices a year ago, and they concluded that the reference to the city's comprehensive plan in their mind conflicts with a decision a year ago of the state Supreme Court regarding the city of Renton. The city of Renton actually required some people to rezone their property before they would annex it. Now, actually, I think they have that power, but one of those people that voted 5-4 against Renton isn't going to be there anymore after January. So if this issue came up again, I think it's 5-4 the other way. But irregardless, as part of your audit, you were asked to remove the reference to requiring a person who wants utility service to comply with a city land use standard. So instead, a new resolution is proposed, which now says the document referring to the extraterritorial agreement will provide as a condition of receiving city utilities that the non-contiguous lands will not be used in any manner inconsistent with the land use controls in place. If it's out in Adams County, it's subject to Adams County's rules. We have a comprehensive plan that overlaps, that's been vetted with Adams County. I think we're basically at the same place and we should comply with the Renton decision. So you're required to do this, and as a result, the form of your extraterritorial agreement is going to change slightly in three places, which I will get to Debbie next week. So.
Okay, any questions?
This is required to comply with your land use audit.
Questions for Jim?
Who did the audit?
WCIA, your insurance pool.
Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the resolution presented by city attorney to modify the annexation process consistent with the requirements of the WCIA?
So moved.
Charles first.
I'll second.
Ken Kaler is second. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes. Ordinance creating OMC Chapter 16.52 entitled Reimbursement Agreements. Jim?
Yes. As part of that same land use audit, their attorneys with whom they consult from Western Washington want all WCIA members to have a local ordinance governing the reimbursement to developers for utility extensions or street improvements. Now, there are already state laws that cover 99% of this, and I questioned this and had an exchange with this high-priced lawyer from Seattle. Actually, I guess he's from Bellevue. And anyway, the bottom line is, I'm sorry I wasted everybody's time, because as part of your covenant, your contract with the insurance pool, they want you to have one of these. So Mrs. Kennison and I looked around and we found one that was not too onerous, was pretty clear, didn't do anything silly, and did not in any way conflict with the existing state law. So to become further compliant with the land use audit conducted by your insurance carrier from a year ago, we recommend you adopt this local ordinance, further clarifying how the city council will enter into latecomers agreements with developers.
Any questions for Jim? Okay, do I hear a motion to adopt the ordinance presented by city attorney to modify the latecomers agreement process consistent with the requirements of WCIA?
I so move.
Okay, Ken Kaler first.
Second.
Gina second. Any further discussion or comments? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes. Okay, thanks, Jim. Valorem tax ordinance. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Each year, as part of the budget process, council must pass an ordinance fixing the amount provided by ad valorem property taxes upon property in the city of Ophelia for collection in the following year. Tonight, we're presenting the 2010 levy for collection in 2011. The state requires the city to base the ad valorem property tax on the actual tax levy. This ordinance will allow the city to collect 101% of the highest of the three previous annual levies, plus an increase equal to the amount allowed under the new construction and annexation provisions. The budget amount is $1,368,592, which is a little bit higher than what my initial estimate in the budget process, but it is now in the budget as this amount. Staff recommends council approval of the ad valorem property tax ordinance, fixing the amount to be collected in 2011. Are there any questions?
Questions from council? Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the ad valorem tax ordinance for the fiscal year 2011?
So moved.
Dan first.
Second.
Charles second. Any further questions or discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same. Okay, that passes. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Okay, ordinance to amend the 2010 budget, Mike.
Okay.
Don't go too far, huh?
Yeah. Okay, let me just get this out. This is kind of part so that there are three funds involved here, and I'll just describe what's going on in each fund. The general fund, the year-end estimates for the general fund are that it will finish under budget, but I'm always concerned that if something came up that was unexpected, that we would exceed the budget. And so this is just a safety net in the event that something came up. We did the same thing last year, and we didn't use it last year again. The Main Street Debt Service Fund, because of the Main Street bond issue, we hadn't anticipated that during the budget process for 2010, and we have a interest payment to make on that. In fact, we've already made it, but that has to be a budgeted item as well. So that's what that fund is all about. And then the City Hall Bond Debt Service Fund, I didn't budget enough in it this year. I was about $300 short. So I'm asking actually for a $500 budget increase to cover that expenditure as well. Are there any questions about any of these items?
Go ahead.
The Main Street Debt Fund applies to just the Main Street. Do we have a big wad of money sitting somewhere that when we sold the bonds, the money came to us?
Yes.
We have $3 million in an account somewhere.
$3.122 million went into the Main Street Fund 310.
And that's earning interest somewhere?
Yes, it is.
So that's part of our revenue package?
Yes.
Up to the general fund, what that looks like on the surface is it, and when people say we're under budget, sometimes that's we're spent less than we're supposed to, and other times it's we're under that we've gained less than we're supposed to. So
it depends on what side.
Yeah.
And on expenditure, yeah, that's good. On the expenditure side, when we're under budget, it means we are spending less than we have budgeted, which means a surplus. On the revenue side, it would be just the opposite.
Yeah, because you're showing on that our revenues were expecting to match approximately what we budgeted, but on the expense side, we're looking to overspend by $100,000.
That's correct. And once again, this is just a safety net. I have no anticipation that we would use this. So it's just, if something came up, and I can't even imagine what it would be, but if something came up and we had to overexpend the budget, we would have to have a council meeting on December 27th. And I would just rather do this than have a council meeting later in the month.
But does this look like council approval to overspend our budget by $100,000?
Oh, the appropriation, of course, is authority. The council approves it, its authority to spend. But once again, it's just a safety net.
On this, as it's a project, Mark, it would be a change order that would have to come back to council anyway. So it's not that the money would be spent without council authorization.
Okay, then I guess that doesn't justify to me the need to do this now then. To me, it's a green light to say it's okay to spend $100,000 over budget without us reviewing why or what it relates to. So I don't think I can be in favor of that. I think it's up to us, between staff and council, to manage our budget so we don't overspend it $100,000. That's why we budget in the first place.
Well, you know, I have to take exception to that, Mark. I work very hard to make the city look good and to do the council's will. And I'm not putting that in there because I'm trying to cheat anybody. I'm telling you that the only reason I'm putting that in there is in the event there came an event that was unexpected, that the money would be in there. And that's all it's there for. And it doesn't, I don't feel like it gives me authority to go out and spend money that council doesn't want me to spend. And so that's where I'm coming with this thing.
Eamon stated that he couldn't spend it without our approval anyway. So it's a catch-22. This prevents us from having a December 27th meeting.
And Mike, I never use the word cheat, and I know as an accountant, you don't spend the money, so you're taking it too personally.
Well, I think that the thing is, Mark, is that for others to spend the money, it has to come through me. And I watch it closely. It isn't like everybody has this free ticket that they can just do what they want to do with it. That isn't how it works. We watch this very closely. I follow the budget very closely. So I'm just trying to make the point that it wouldn't be like that. It isn't a free ride to go out and draw up and spend $100,000. That isn't what it is. I don't believe that anybody in this room is going to give me the authority or the city the authority to do that. That's not what this is for. Now, in legal terms, it does give the authority, but that would only be in an emergency, and then we would contact all of council to let them know what's going on and what would take place if we had to do that. But this isn't to take care of some average line item that, you know, office supplies and stuff like that that people want to go out and start, you know, buying up the world. This isn't what this is for.
And so I
didn't mean to offend you, but just coming from my background, and I'm still trying to adapt my background to the city business, is I wouldn't go to my boss now and say, I might be $20,000 over budget, I'm just letting you know, so I want you to prove that just in case. That's not the way it worked. It was like, I at this time of the year, I better be on my budget, and if not, I would approach him on an individual basis to go over budget. So in the industrial world I'm used to, that this just simply isn't done.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is the private sector doesn't have the laws that govern them on expenditures like municipal government does. And in Mike's defense, in 30 years of municipal government experience, I've never seen a finance manager take personally government expenses as much as Mike does. He watches every penny.
I agree.
Well, I apologize if I were reacting, Mark.
It was more the philosophical thing than anything.
So could you give us
legalities? If we overexpend without authorization from council, as I was telling the mayor today, Mike and I get in trouble, and so does the mayor. So the citizens have Mike's out of safety.
Would an example of this be like we got heavy snows and part of the roof fell in the library? You make a phone call to all of us to get a rough feeling for it, and then we could fix the library roof.
Absolutely.
That could be an example of something that could happen, maybe. You know what I mean? Where we need to fix it immediately. We don't want to wait for the next meeting. So that pushes over the budget, which we cannot do as a city unless we have a meeting and do this. So that could be an example of it, Mark, if it ever happened. Let's hope it doesn't. But.
And I'll give a full accounting of this. At the end of January, after we close the books, I'll give a full accounting. I'll show all the numbers, how the actuals turned out, and et cetera, so that you'll have a full accounting of everything.
Well, if it'll make your Christmas merrier, then I'll go ahead and approve it.
Any more questions or discussion? Okay. Back up here. Do I hear a motion to adopt the ordinance to amend the 2010 budget as presented?
I make that motion.
Mark Snyder. Dan, second. Okay, any further discussion? All right, everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay. There it is. Ordinance to amend OMC Chapter 3.02 entitled Utility, Occupation Tax and Licensing and Policy and Procedure. Mike?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. At the last, at the workshop, I presented to Council, and I'll just read this. In 2009, the State Supreme Court heard the Lane versus City of Seattle case, which requires fire hydrant costs to be paid from the general fund because it is for general government purposes. And this doesn't, this isn't just the cost of fire hydrants, it's also the maintenance. So they're both are included. The attached ordinance levies a 2% utility tax against the water utility as a means of recouping the cost to the general fund associated with fire hydrant replacement and maintenance. The city will fill policy and procedure number, which is included in this packet, establishes a policy for collecting the 2% utility tax on a monthly basis. The budget is estimated to be $36,000 a year. This tax would recoup that $36,000. So the city pays the money to the water fund and actually collects it back in the form of a utility tax.
Questions for Mike? Okay, we're gonna have two motions. I'll do one to begin with. Do I hear a motion to approve an ordinance amending Othello Municipal Code Section 3.02.050 and .060 of Chapter 3.02, levying a 2% utility tax on a water utility?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Mark Snyder first.
Second.
Ken Johnson second. Any further discussion on that one? Mark?
I would like to get Mr. Whitaker's opinion because we had some discussion in the workshop why this isn't an additional 2% versus just 2% coming out of this fund. Because to me it has all the looks of a utility tax which is added to my bill, not taking it.
You are absolutely correct, and that's why if you approve this ordinance, there's a policy, an administrative policy, to pay the first 2% of any utility tax you impose administratively. By having that policy, it then never becomes part of your water bill and will not appear on your water bill and will not be charged to you. But if you didn't have this policy, it would.
So you've worded it such that that's the way it's going to work.
This is Will Patton's solution to Art Lane's problem. So I liked Will's solution because it's relatively simple. It creates a certain, you know, the first day of every month, Mike sends 1/12 of the cost to the general fund from the water fund, and then after lunch he comes back and collects his 2% utility tax and puts the money back. So by the end of the day, everything's square again.
Okay, thank you.
Right. That was good. Any other further questions? Okay, do we have a first and a second? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, thank you. Okay, the next motion is to approve the City of Othello Policy and Procedure Number 2010-05 entitled Water System Utility Tax Recovery to General Fund. Do I hear a motion on that?
I shall move.
Ken Kaler first.
Second.
Gina seconded. Any further discussion or questions on that one? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, that passes also. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay, next is unfinished business. I have a couple things. Just so you know, our general contractor will be here tomorrow patching and filling holes, so for everybody to know, after the meltdown and everything. The first thing I did when I got to City Hall was we started rolling on that because I hit a few of them. So anyhow, he'll be in here next all day tomorrow doing that. So you know that. Also, another Dr. Darrow called the police department and said that the alleyway enforcement that's been going on is working, and also they've moved the camera a little bit, I guess, to pick up a different part of it or something. So what Chief Dunnigan's been doing and things is starting to pay off. So that's good as far as holding that down, getting under control. So thank you, Chief. That's all I have on unfinished. Go ahead.
Regarding Main Street, I don't know. The last I show on my email is that we sent an update to our businesses on Main Street on 11-4. Have they got an update since then?
No. But as I understand, the inspector for Grant Osborne is going to be passing out some pamphlets up and down Main Street tomorrow.
That would be good. Let's see. You've got the pothole one. That was on my list. So that's done.
14th and Main.
Well, there's more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot more than that. He's going to be busy. Yeah, I hit that one too.
That's the one with the rear bumper of a VW sticking out of it.
Okay. Let's not go too far here, guys.
Don't get me started.
Go ahead.
Might have them look at some of these handicap ramps and whatnot. If they're not going to pour them or do anything with them, at least put some finer gravel down on some of those. I mean, when the snow was here, it was bad enough, but now it's uncovered, and you still have no access on a lot of these areas. It's very bad. You've got people still walking out the streets trying to get around that stuff, and it's an accident waiting to happen. We've got a lot of them that are just totally tore up. You can't even get to the end of the sidewalk if you did have one. Something's got to be done about it. We've talked about it, but it hasn't happened. I think some pressure should be put on there to get that done and taken care of.
That's good, Ken. Thanks for noticing that again. Okay. Any other unfinished business? Okay. New business. Consideration to cancel December 27th City Council meeting. We need a motion on that. Is anybody interested in doing that? Somebody want to start a motion?
I so move
that
cancel our meeting of December 27th.
Second. Charles is second. Okay, Ken Kaler was first. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, great. Any other new business? Go ahead.
Just want to reiterate my opinion about cars and Hulk vehicles in the community. I noticed on the report, our department head reports, that 6 junk vehicles have been removed from town. And I just want to encourage staff and council to continue supporting that. One of the cars we talked about on 4th, it was parked on the city easement. It was obviously a junk vehicle. It got moved 30 feet from the easement to a driveway. And I know another car in my neighborhood that hasn't moved in 3 months and has doors missing, was sitting on the street, and it got moved to the driveway. So our next step is to keep these cars out of driveways. And I know that's hard to do because it's private property, and I thought we had items in place to enforce that. But if we don't, I'd like to see that, and if we do, I'd like to see it enforced, because I think that wasn't the solution I was looking for for this on-street storage, was just people to put junk cars in their driveway. So if it just needs to be enforced, I would encourage the appropriate personnel to keep enforcing that, because I don't think there's much that makes a town look junkier than having Hulk vehicles parked in driveways and on yards out in the front yard.
I raised that issue on a car up on Hemlock and a van. I mean, it's been sitting there since I got on the council, hasn't moved. And it was looked at by the police department, and it's sitting on property, it's private property, and so therefore there is no ordinance that covers that, so it's legal to be there. Got a flat tire and been sitting there.
Well, there is things to define, quote, a Hulk or hunk or something, so it's not easy, I admit. It was like 6 things, and it's got to meet 3 or something, but whatever we can do.
We'll review.
Appreciate it.
I have one thing. If you already haven't heard, the Sand Hill Crane Festival is canceled for this coming year. I would like to see the council, and we've had some changes at U.S. Fish and Wildlife here at the office, and I think that's kind of contributed to what's been going on, and I would like to see a letter from the city sent to U.S. Fish and Wildlife about the impact of the loss of this crane festival. Roger Krug has brought a number to the ACDC of $1.8 million over 5 years that has made an impact to this community. And if we lose this event, it's going to be really hard to bring it back. And it has made a big impact to the community. So I would really hate to see it lose this.
Can we get that? I mean, it wasn't ran by Fish and Wildlife. It was ran by a committee that was supported with the tourism dollars. Can we get them to report to see how we can support that and not let it go away? Or because I that's the first I've heard of it, and I don't know.
Yeah, me too.
Don't know why, and I guess I'd like to know why.
That's a great
event. That's one of our bigger events.
So can we get them here maybe for a workshop 1st of January?
We can, just as a baseline, the number of committee participants is down to about 3, and their feeling is they cancel it this next year, and they could resurrect it the following year. But we can get them here in January, we can try, and see if they'll come and talk to the council.
Tim?
Yes?
I might add a little to that, too. Yeah, I've been talking to them a little bit about what the problem is and whatever. I'm not going to go into it or what they actually have said, but the problem they got with the wildlife is when they lost Randy Hill and even Bob Corries and some of those, they were the instigators and the people that actually set up a lot of these tours and the people that come in to do the lectures and whatnot. And I don't think they had anybody set to go ahead and do that. They just kind of assumed that the wildlife was going to take care of them, and that did not happen. We're having other problems with them and other organizations, and they're not willing to go that extra mile to participate to help. They'll do it on their own time, but they don't want to give any volunteer time to help out on some of this, and that's part of the problem, and I think that's where Ken's coming from, to put a little pressure on the wildlife to say, hey, come in here, you're in our community, join us to help put these things together. And I think that's what needs to be done, all of us together, go back and see if we can't help the Sand Hill Crane Festival put this thing together. They could do a minor thing, I think, this year, and maybe we can have them come in and suggest this to them, or I can do it myself, I probably will anyway, but my thought is not totally cancel it, but at least have something here, because you're going to have some people from outside come in anyway, and the burgers are all designed for that particular purpose. And if we can help them a little bit, instigate that on a smaller scale, and at least get those people here so you can maybe have a tour or two, not the magnitude that they used to have, but at least keep something here for an incentive for people to come back. And I think us as a city, we ought to step out to the Sand Hill Crane Festival committee and say, hey, we're willing to go that extra little bit to help you out, whatever it's going to take.
Has the chamber been contacted on this? Are they involved in that?
I don't know if the chamber's taken it.
I think they'd want to be involved.
I didn't even ask to see their budget, so you can't blame me.
Okay, so thoughts on how to proceed on that one? Do I have here 1st of January, or what do you want to try to do? Dan?
Yeah, go ahead. I didn't catch you.
I just want to bring them in, talk to them, or have them send us a letter or something. It's like more like an outreach of how can we support you. I think that's important. I mean, we've already approved the tourism money for them, so...
get it by, but you can't let it go. So once you do, it'll come back.
yeah, it'll be difficult.
So, even if we just do the bus tours, I would think it's something that...
Yeah, they need to, keep something anyway alive, though, so it keeps it in motion, at least. And I think they should come to our next workshop and see if we can, come up with a solution.
You got any thought, Amy?
Mayor, prior to the workshop in January, perhaps if you would like, you could appoint a couple members of the council to sit in on a meeting with the San Hill Crane people, so we can come together with a proposal to the council in January.
Good idea. No? Who would be interested in being involved in that? Can we get three of you? Ken Kaler? Anybody else? Ken Johnson? One more? I'll try to make it, but it'd be nice to get one more council member if possible to sit in. Well, I guess the three of us, I guess we'll try that. So if you can get something set up, I'll try to make it also, and we'll see what we can come up with and bring back to the council maybe. Okay. Thank you. Anything else on new business?
I read somewhere that another issue facing our community, and I don't know if it's still an issue, maybe Eamon knows, is that Pet Rescue is looking for a spot to build.
Yes, that's true. They are working on a location in Bruce and with County.
Okay.
That's the last I heard. I think they said that at our mayor's luncheon 2 or 3 months ago. But yes, you're correct. They are looking.
Okay. Well, just maybe we need to think outside the box or something, a way to support them, or if there's any opportunity where our current pound is or something, because that would be a shame if apparently where it was at and burned down, they didn't get permission to build back there. So.
Well, they did. I think cost got in the way of resurrecting that facility.
Mm. So if anybody hears anything, I guess that's out there, and it's another group I'd like to support.
Hey, have any of you talked to the school district at all?
About
the new school?
Yes.
Okay. I won't say anything then. All I know is what they told me.
Mm-hmm. Any other new business? Okay, council will also receive the following reports, which are department heads' reports for November. And mayor's announcements is everybody have a Merry Christmas. This meeting's adjourned. All right.
Amen.
Amen. Much shorter than I thought it was going to. Well, you guys meet Catherine over there if you get a chance. She'll be taking Jim's spot.
Merry Christmas. Just seems weird saying that already.
Well, it's not long as away. I start this Saturday. I go to my dad's in Newport.
Yeah, so. And Chrissy's only got 4 more days. We're on Christmas break.
Oh,